Every Tuesday at this time, Second Amendment Tuesday is a little delayed in getting started here, but hopefully you understand why. 1-866-823-1077. Penny Dean next on Bulldog Live.
Now I know the Constitution, and it gives me certain rights that I will never, ever give up. At least not without a fight. So if anybody's even thinking they're gonna take my guns away, like the good old boys down in Gonzales, I got one thing to say. Come on, make my day.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you think you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
All right, Second Amendment Tuesdays with Attorney Penny Dean. How are you today?
Well, in general, I'm okay, but I'm pretty upset, and I hope that Senator Silly is going to tell us. Senator Silly is from District 6. What happened on the HB 1161 roll call vote? Now, HB 1161, for those who don't know, is the law that would make it not necessary for gun stores to have licenses to sell pistols at retail from their towns, because you know how a person has to have a federal firearms license to sell firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in New Hampshire, you also, if you're going to sell revolvers and pistols at retail, you have to have a license from your chief of police. He can charge you whatever he wants. He can make it renew as often as he wants, and there's no criteria. So he can make it be, or she can make it be, whatever they want. And the New Hampshire General Court said, this isn't fair. We're going to repeal this law. And, of course, they voted to repeal it. Senate voted to repeal it. Governor vetoed it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the chiefs of police said, we want control in our towns. So I guess the feds giving a guy a federal firearm license isn't enough control. They wanted more control.
Mm.
And the House overwhelmingly voted to override the governor's veto. They voted 266 to 69.
Wow.
I consider that overwhelming, right?
That's huge.
That's huge. Okay, huge. And so that would have made a person go, yeah, we're on the way, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, but then, of course, we have to go to the Senate. And in the Senate, the vote was 15 to 8. And if you go, wait a minute, 15 to 8, that's 23. There's 24 senators, right?
Yeah, somebody sat this one out.
That's exactly right. And so had Senator Silly voted and voted for the override, guess what?
It would have been overridden.
Yep. So we don't know yet if Senator Silly had a medical emergency or there was some good reason, but in my mind, the senators are expected to do the people's business. In other words, that's your job, is to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I for one, am going to look forward to hearing from Senator Silly as to what kept the senator from this important vote.
Wow.
Yeah, especially during election time, you can bet there's a lot of firearm groups that are looking at that vote, and the 8 that voted against it, they're going to say, well, that shows you where you stand on our firearm rights.
I wonder do you know what her vote was on 1161 originally?
You know what? I don't know if it's a roll call, but I'm going to check.
Okay.
Because that's absolutely a good question.
Yeah.
You know, as to what originally happened, you know, in that particular thing. Because I don't know, I just don't know. And so here's the question. Is that a case where it didn't have an original roll call vote, and this, because this was a roll call vote, that she didn't want to vote? And I don't know what the answer is to that question, but that's absolutely a good question. And while we're talking, I'm going to take a look and see if there's a roll call on the original 1161.
Right, yeah. No, that would be good. Yeah, I'm actually trying to look at the same time, too, so good luck to me.
Yeah, you know how it is? Sometimes you're just like, what the heck's happening here? Because the bottom line is, in this particular case, it's a huge, in my mind, an important bill that gives people back the control that they need, because we don't need this, if you will, two government entities deciding whether or not a person gets a license. Well, at least a federal firearms license, they have certain criteria.
Right.
But the state license, which is issued by each chief of police, has absolutely no criteria.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a problem, at least in my mind, why are you doing this? In other words, why are we going down this path, and why are we having something like that happening?
Yeah.
You know, why do we need this additional government intervention, if you will, and particularly arbitrary without any type of standards?
Well, I can only find a House roll call on the original vote of 1161. So,
I'm thinking this was where the rubber met the road.
We'll have to find out. I wonder if she voted on any of the other bills in that special session.
Well, I can tell you that she's received a C in the past. I can't tell you what her current grade is, but she's received what's called a C gun grade in the past, which means she may or may not vote pro firearm.
Okay.
You know, so at least in my mind, the question is, what was her vote going to be here, and why did she miss the vote? Because the first thing you always ask a person is, why did you miss the vote? Maybe they had, a genuine emergency.
Right, exactly.
And if they didn't have a genuine emergency, then you say, I can only presume that you would not have voted favorably if you missed this vote.
Wow. So.
Yeah. So that's one of those important things to know.
Wow. So for anybody who wants to know, Jacqueline Silly, she's out of Barrington.
Senate District 6, I think.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Senate District 6, which covers, let's see if I can find a listing of the towns that it covers.
Yeah, that's an important thing for people to know, anybody who lives in that area, to talk to her and say, gee, what happened here? You know, this is a concern of ours. We're looking at that.
Barrington, Madbury, Nottingham, Rochester, and Somersworth. So, kind of right on the outer edge, or even past our outer edge of the listening area. So probably not too many people in her district.
Yeah.
Listen.
So that's, and then my second topic of the day, if you will, is disparity of force. You know, there's always the question that people ask, when can I display a firearm? When can I use my firearm? At what point, am I legally justified and clear in using it? And I tell people, gee, if anyone could come up with a magic formula to that, I'd buy that. I'd buy that. And no one knows the answer. And we all know what's the legal and correct answer. But we don't know what local police, depending on if you're in a pro-firearm area or an anti-firearm area, or the prosecutor is going to think is enough. But one of the things that really puts you on the edge, if you will, is what's called disparity of force, disparity of numbers. And what drew my attention to this, and again, I'm making no comment on these people because I don't know who's right in this particular incident, but the union leader's been running a series of articles, two or three, I think. Accused says Hell's Angel attacked him. And it's in today's paper in Manchester. It said a man charged in a gun incident at South Willow Street restaurant said he was assaulted by half a dozen Hell's Angels and had it in his head to retaliate by shooting them. Now, what's interesting about this particular case is if you have six individuals, against one, that's a clear case of disparity of force. And the question is, at what point in a case of 6-on-1 or 5-on-1 or 4-on-1 are you justified in displaying your firearm or defending yourself? And here's what I tell people. Because of the 21-foot rule, remember the Tooler drill where a person who's 21 foot away from you can knife you before you can draw your firearm and defend yourself?
I want people to go to BrianTilton.com on the Second Amendment Tuesdays page and go find that episode that we talked about that here. It's good.
Yes, and it really educates a lot of people because people think 21 foot away is both further and closer than you think. If you actually stand in a circle and measure 21 feet away, you think, that person's a long way away from me. Why in the world would I shoot a person 21 foot away from me? And the answer is because if they sprint towards you, they're going to knife you or physically attack you before you can shoot them and defend yourself. And so I tell people, and especially when you have a case, if you have a group of people, let's say there's even three, not even six, three people, and you're facing them, trying to watch three people at the same time and deciding which one is going to make a move to attack you is actually very difficult. It's harder than you think. And so I tell people, each case is fact specific. But in cases of disparity of force, disparity in numbers, or disparity in physical size, a person is always justified in defending themselves with a firearm if, in fact, they're going to be attacked or they're being attacked. Because the bottom line is, everyone takes, who's wise, it owns a firearm, takes all sorts of weapon retention classes and weapon disarming classes, or firearm disarming classes, rather. I've taken a variety of them through LFI 1, 2, and 3, and they're really fun. If anybody ever has an opportunity to take those, they're great. One of them is called Driving the Train Up the Track. And what it is when a person points a firearm at you, you take, depending on where they're facing, you take one arm and literally lift their arm up from the bottom, and you grab the muzzle of their firearm from the opposite side and turn it toward them and pull it toward their own body. And that particular move is called driving the train up the track.
Okay.
and the thing is, because if that person's finger is still on the trigger, it's now pointing at them. And so by the same token, I always tell people is that nobody can practice all these techniques every day. And did I learn them at one point? Yeah. Do I know them perfectly now? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they'll come back to me if I ever need them. But my point is that even bad people take and have basic martial arts skills.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have two or three people who are intent on hurting you and aggressive, you have to realize that you're going to have to get off some shots quick, or you could be in a struggle for your firearm, your self-defense tool. And so the question is, at what point, and this gentleman here obviously allegedly left and came back, but the question is, at what point are you justified in drawing and using that weapon?
Well, that's a good question. Let's let our listeners ponder that for a moment. Let's take our time out here. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number. Attorney Penny Dean joining us here for Second Amendment Tuesdays on Bulldog Live on the Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on the Pulse.